Just before the gospel at the gradual, the Skolich sang this morning from the Psalms, "He shall rule from sea to sea, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Reverend fathers, dear faithful, him whom we see at Mass and in the monstrance all day at 40 hours, he shall rule from sea to sea. The rubrics say only that the priest should raise the sacred host at the elevation in a straight vertical line, high enough so that our Lord and King may be seen and adored by his people. "My Lord and my God." You're meant to say that, to look up, the bell rings, to say that with faith and piety and love. The first communion saint a century ago, St. Pius X, gave an indulgence of 7 years for doing so. But what if you're a 4-year-old boy who can't see above the heads of adults? Well, if you're as straightforward as my little friend Damien, you'll go right up to the priest afterwards and ask him to lift Jesus higher so you can see him. We were having breakfast earlier this month, Rochester, Minnesota, Father McKenna and I, during our confirmation day of recollection, when to my amazement, this little tyke made a beeline for Father McKenna with his request. Not so diplomatically put, they're plain talking folk in Minnesota, just he delivered his message directly, and then off he went. Later, I learned that the other McFather had been similarly admonished on a previous occasion. Well, the next day, I took special care with my elevation, and I think I passed muster because the little lad, I was told later, leaned over and piously whispered his satisfaction to his mother, "I could see Jesus." Just as the Gentiles asked St. Philip on Palm Sunday, "Sir, we would see Jesus." A reasonable enough request, isn't it? That's what brings you to church on Sunday. Of old, before the Protestant revolt wrenched the British Isles away from Rome and the Catholic faith, that's how people expressed it. A Welsh bard in 1530 composed a long ode, that's the style, and it begins, "Let us go over yonder to the church Sunday to see Jesus." And if someone wanted to know whether or not someone else had been to Mass, that would be the question, that would be the response. "I have seen my God this day. My God and my King." This is where, and this is when, it gets decided who rules, who reigns as monarch. Queen Elizabeth I of England in the 16th century, who had launched so bloody a persecution against the Mass and priests, made her first move against the Catholic faith at Mass, against the elevation, some weeks after her accession to the throne of England upon the death of good Queen Mary Tudor. Some say it was on Christmas. Well, she was at Mass, Elizabeth was, in her chapel at the Palace Royal, and she sent a message to the Bishop of Carlisle, who was singing the Mass, not to elevate the host. Well, as soon as he had a free moment, when the deacon was singing the gospel, he sent a message back to the queen that since the elevation is the unvarying rule in all of Christendom, he must beg His Majesty's permission to continue to do it. She bit her thin lip in anger. She stood up, and like a child, she stamped her feet and stomped out of the chapel. And a few months later, she had her revenge against the Mass. They passed the penal laws, you know, so that any priest ordained over the seas caught coming back to England and saying Mass should be hung for a while by the neck and then slit from the neck down and his heart and viscera pulled out of him whilst his eyes were still open. That was the punishment. That was the price for centuries for the Mass. And in England, Christ was no longer king nor Mary queen, but only now an illegitimate Elizabeth, and her new religion would reign. The consecration of the Mass, remember this, this is the symbolic sacramental sacrifice, the presentation on the altar of the death of our Lord, the mystical shedding of his blood by the separation of the body from the blood. And then immediately Father genuflects to worship and lifts up the sacred host at that most holy moment, which we call the lifting up or the elevation. It stands out as the summit of the sacrifice of the Mass. Truly, the showing forth of the death of the Lord. Think of Christ raised up on the cross. Some say our Lord's arms were already tied to the horizontal bar of the cross for the procession up to Calvary. And then he was nailed, and two soldiers lifted him a bit and then dropped him into the socket of the standing vertical bar of the cross. But the mystics see our Lord is carrying the whole cross entire and our Lord nailed to it, and then the soldiers with ropes lift him up. Think of that, and then drop him into the hole they dug to receive the cross. Think of that when you hear the bell ring, and think of the trumpets that sounded over across the valley on Mount Zion at the temple, that final Passover, when the paschal lambs were slain. Jesus Christ, think of him, victim and high priest and eternal king and your mediator. It is not Pilate, it's the priest who says, "Behold your king." His throne is a cross until the end of time, elevated between heaven and earth. In the epistle, St. Paul says today, there he is, still making peace through the blood of his cross, fulfilling his promise, and I, if I am lifted up, elevated, I will draw all things to myself. How holy a moment. Pay attention to it. Never let it pass in distraction. And parents, piously instruct your children, there is Jesus. You can see him too, to see Jesus. St. Hildegard at the elevation saw our Lord all of his life. She said she saw it as in a kind of a lightning flash. She saw his passion and his burial, as well as the resurrection and the ascension of our Savior. The incarnate God, she said, as in a mirror. But what about if you're little? You can't see it, and you miss it, and it's over in a flash. What's Damien to do? Why, go over to San Damiano, with Saint Francis and see what could be seen maybe a benediction. Saint Francis is the Christmas saint too, isn't he? He who gave us the crib, the first living nativity with the oxen and the donkey and the sheep. Saint Francis taught that the changing of the bread and wine into the body and the blood was like the incarnation of our Lord, our gracious King, giving himself first to those beasts and then to the shepherds, to all who see the sacred host, as well as to all who receive it, just as he gave himself to the crowds of people and to the apostles to be seen. They jostled him to be touched by them. And by this giving, Jesus is with us until the end of the world, and he comes as King in glory. Remember the truth of this foremost Eucharistic saint, Francis of Assisi. For him, the focus point, the locus, they would say, the place of his mysticism, and for us too, for we're Catholics, we have the same faith, is the belief that he could have, you could have, direct contact with God. Not in some private, priestless prayer of your own. Not in some Protestant or Pentecostal praise and worship service, nor in speaking in tongues, nor even in the poor whom he loved and served, and certainly not in nature out there with the birds and I don't know what, the earth. That's for the crowd that claims I can worship God just as well in nature. No, no, in none of these places, but in the Mass, the true Mass, I mean, not the Novus Ordo memorial meal, with its high school graduation setting, one actor after another going up to the stage, but the true Mass. Some say it was St. Francis who instituted the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, such as we have today, in Italy. And that would make sense for the Damians of every age who want to see Jesus. We can feast our eyes upon him today. And regardless of whether Father holds him high enough or long enough at Mass, the Mass is prolonged today. How long? For 40 hours. By the monstrance, the word means to show forth our Lord's death until he comes in glory. And how much we need this. Damien's only four, so and they live far away from a church. So I imagine he's never been to benediction, but how happy he would be if he could get to benediction to get a good long look at Jesus. Oh, that our piety were like his, or like the saint of San Damiano, that we would be focused on this, God's most tangible manifestation in the world, the sacred host, which delivers the work of Calvary, this peacemaking through the cross's blood, to those who see and seeing see Jesus. Very simply. Today, the vast majority of those who claim the name of Catholic, and perhaps even some of our own, have lost this sense of the concrete divine presence and our immediate access to it. And that has to be why so many fall away. No wonder he no longer reigns in our families or society. Who ever heard of a king who's invisible, whom nobody has ever seen? See him, sense him, hear in this place, at this time, in the concrete, here and now. Religion has to be simple. It has to be based upon a truth and upon the presence. No wonder St. Francis wasn't satisfied with merely bowing. That's what they did back then. In the Middle Ages, they just bowed. And St. Francis was the one who said, no, you kneel. Who first sang at the mystic Christmas of the Mass, O fall on your knees. Before even the church made it a law, he commanded his followers to get down on their knees. They just bowed back then. And that's all you get out of Bergoglio, you know. He doesn't genuflect at his Novus Ordo. Well, he'll kneel down in front of Mohammedan teenage girls to wash their feet, but he won't kneel down during his Novus Ordo service. But the real St. Francis, the real Francis, he got down on his knees before his king. And when Father holds him on high, and when we see him, Jesus, we know that he is the king, and he reigns from sea to sea. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.